One of the really revelatory experiences that I went through several years back was I was working on a project that had to do with the Symphonie Fantastique. And I suddenly played your recording of it and just went, I'd gone through all the educational systems, you know, that said, it was a mediocre piece of music. But when I went back and studied it, of course, it was absolutely fascinating. And your recording was just, you know, I heard things that I'd never heard before. Did you go back and find ophicleides?
We found ophicleides, these strange sort of keyed bugles, these large keyed bugles. A friend of mine had one on his wall. He thought he'd bought it as an ornament. He'd never played it. He was a tuba player, but he'd never played this. I said, Steve, can you give us a blast of the ophicleide for the in a couple of years' time? And he said, I've never played it. I'll take it down and see. It doesn't seem to work very well. So we had to find ophicleides. We had to find contrabassoons. We had to find harps that were the size and date of Berlioz harps, much smaller than modern harps, but wonderful sound. We had to find coranglais. We actually found a cor anglais made by the man who played in the first performance of the Fantastique in France, Brode. So it's full of those sort of our life with those pieces is full of that kind of research and absolutely crazy risks that we take trying to play these pieces. A lot of the results come from doing what it says. You know, a lot of the sound, the results in sound, doing what it says. And then he puts a metronome mark for every tempo in the Fantastique. And they're invariably very revealing and absolutely just right, because Berlioz was a great conductor of his time. He knew how music went. He didn't put the metronome marks in until he'd performed it many times. And when he finally printed it, put in the metronome mark, he knew that was the right speed. So you've got to have very good reasons for not going at that speed. So that it's a lot of it is just doing what it says and understanding what a notation actually meant in 1830 and not what it means now. And so there's a lot of that and practical stuff. But then, of course, also you have to... I mean, no performance is any good unless you've got a lot of imagination, unless you can make a piece come alive. I mean, the historical facts are just useful to give fantasy and imagination and drama their head. And then you can make these exciting performances that which are not likely to go off the rails and turn into something else. You know, they're more likely to be Berlioz.
Sure. I heard an interesting interview with Esa-Pekka Salonen a couple of months ago, and he said that he has watched you rehearse the LA Philharmonic and seen you completely change the sound of the orchestra within 15 minutes, a thing which he found very exciting, but also very frightening. For the most part, you're not going to find, perhaps, with many of the American orchestras, an ensemble that is able to have all the instruments that you would like.
No.
How do you communicate the difference to these orchestras?
Yes. No. It's interesting. When I began to do, quotes, early music, I thought it was all about the sound that the instruments made. You know, I thought, well, we'll play the music the same way as everybody else, but the instruments will make the sound different. But then when you start researching how to do that, and then you think, well, how many players were there, and how did they sit, and how did they play, and what was the articulation, you start to get drawn into this, and you realize there's more to it than that, then you gradually find that it's the instruments and the information. But eventually, by this stage, 30 years into the project, so to speak, I actually think that early music is not about instruments. In the end, of course, they are fascinating and they teach you things, and I love them. But it's the actions that one takes in doing early music are about the music itself, are about the soul of the music, the inside, not the sound. It's how the music speaks which is important. So that means that I can translate all the things that I've learned with early instruments very, very easily onto a modern orchestra. After all, they play the same music, they have the same possibilities for speed, articulation, phrasing. It's just the actual physical instrument which is different. But if you hear, for instance, a great pianist playing a really lousy piano, somehow he makes it sound wonderful, doesn't he? And a bad pianist can make the most perfect Steinway sound like rubbish. So it's in the mind. It's the mindset. It's the fascination of the inside of the music which one tries to bring out. And so I can do that quite easily with the modern symphony orchestra. And I don't have to say, no, I want this to sound different. Just the way I approach it, the orchestra begins to sound different. It just changes because of what's in your mind. It's the mixture of all the parts put together in a particular way. So that's why the sound changes. I don't actually arrive in front of the LA Philharmonic or any other orchestra in the world and say, I want to change your sound. You know, Vienna Philharmonic, I conduct, Berlin Philharmonic. I don't say, the sound's got to change, gentlemen. Come on, we're going to change. Get rid of all this stuff. No, I just talk about the music and how to play it and how we phrase it. And, of course, we sit in a slightly different way with the violins across from each other and the horns and trumpets across from each other. But it's just the way you think about the music that makes the sound change. Music, after all, this is an important statement, ladies and gentlemen. Music is not about sound. It uses sound. It's not about sound any more than pictures are about paint. Pictures are about light and vision and form and juxtaposition of exciting things. Music has a language. It speaks to you. And the orchestra, or whatever it is, its voice, is what you use to speak to those people. But it isn't about the sound they make. The sound is a means to an end.